Hey, everybody, I'm back here. It's Des Bishop on the Hard Shoulder here on News Talk so far. So I've actually been enjoying it, I have to say. So thanks for tolerating me throughout the day. Obviously, you know, it can be a bit nerve-wracking. A lot of moving parts, but I hope you've enjoyed it. And I've certainly learned a lot today. This is it's a great gig for learning, I have to say. So thanks for having me. Next up, we have a topic that I've talked about a lot in the last while because I've been doing a show about the loss of my mother, but I had also done a show about the loss of my father. He died in 2011. So to join us to talk more broadly about grief, I'm joined by Liz Gleason, director of Shapes of Grief, and she's going to talk to me about losing a parent specifically.
Hi, Des. Lovely to be here.
How are you?
Yeah, good. I'm delighted to give space to the topic of grief, as always, because we don't do it enough.
Yeah, and it's funny, from doing the show about my mother, people always say to me, like, oh, isn't that a hard topic to be funny about? But I think that is testimony to the broader thing, is that people just don't like talking about it at all.
Yeah, either they really want to or they don't want to at all. I met someone just before.
You mean some people never stop going on about their dead mom?
Well, I think people love the opportunity to talk about things that we don't talk about around dinner tables, you know. Mm. I just met somebody out in the waiting room whose eyes widened when I spoke about what I do, and he really wanted to talk about it and tell me more. And, you know, it's like birth stories and death stories. People have stories and they need to be told.
So just specifically, because I can never define it, like, is it important to give grief or the way that it feels its own space? Is it that unique compared to other difficult emotions?
Yeah, really good question. Grief is an emotion. And I think we mix up all the time the difference between grief and grieving. So grieving is a process that we go through. And while we're grieving, we can feel joy, anger, fear, anxiety, love, and sadness. You know, we have all the emotions during a grieving process as we adjust to the loss of someone we love. And then grief is that, you know, that sort of deep down in the entrails, yearning and feeling of loss and sorrow when we think of that person that we love who has died. It's an emotion that comes and goes.
And that is like an official emotion. like it's hard to say, like, what is sadness? What is happiness? But grief is its own area. Is that what we're saying?
It is, yeah. And I think, you know, it's an emotion like all the others, but it often gets labelled as a negative emotion. Mm. There's no such thing as a negative emotion. We're humans and we feel, and the whole spectrum should be welcome. But, you know, in our productive society, we've started, you know, this toxic positivity and everything has to be positive and happy. And actually, grief is heartbreaking and also heart-opening and a really important emotion for us to give time to if we want to be full human beings.
But, you know, when people say you need to give yourself time to grieve, one, is that a positive statement? And then two, like, how do you do that? And how much of your life do you have to alter to allow yourself time to grieve?
And it's, you know, it's as individual for each person as the way we live our lives. You know, it depends on who has died, what was our relationship to them, how has the loss impacted us. But we know that, you know, for a certain amount of people, not everybody, but for a certain amount of people, after a profound loss, there is absolutely an adjustment period. And that can go on for quite a long time for some people. Our brains map everyone we love in the world. Unconsciously, we know where everybody we love is. And after a profound loss, it's like someone has ripped up that map and we don't know ourselves anymore. We don't know the world. We don't know this territory. And we have to take time to start recreating this new existence, if you like. For some people, after a profound loss, it's as dramatic as that.
To have this recreation?
Absolutely. You know, they say, psychologists say we have between 5 and 10 primary attachment figures, and if more or less 5, not so much 10. And if one of those people die, we're going, our life is dramatically altered.
And do you know the way sometimes there's this sense that if somebody doesn't grieve, that this is a, like, really negative on you, and that almost like it'll return as cancer in a way. Like, is that something that's going on? Are people actually not grieving?
Sometimes grief is absent. But what very few people know is there's different types of grief. We've different grieving styles. So what you and I probably know is the grief from the Hollywood movies, which is demonstrative. It's emotional. There's wails. That's what we would call intuitive grieving. But some of us are instrumental grievers. We're problem solvers. We want to go and fix things. So not everybody is going to sit and cry or express their emotions or talk about their loss. That's one style of grieving. And actually, a lot of marriages break down following a profound loss because they don't understand the way they're grieving. We used to think it like men grieve this way and women grieve that way, but we now know it's beyond gender. You know, different people have different grieving styles. So my father died just 2 years ago during one of the lockdowns. And, you know, of course I cried and of course I felt it, but mostly I dived right into a project and started building and creating.
Yes.
So I'm primarily an instrumental griever.
Oh, that's what that's a good word, because I am an instrumental griever also. But I do joke in my show about, I mean, I don't think it's an Irish solution. I say it's Irish, but I always say that Irish people always say, keep busy, you know. But I when I say that, I'm sort of joking in a way to suggest try to avoid being consumed by the emotion. That's the kind of what I'm saying in the joke. But you're actually saying that it's not entirely unhealthy to be an instrumental griever.
No, absolutely. Like, we all have our grieving styles and we all find our way with grief. But, you know, it's good to feel the emotion, you know, to feel the grief, to let the emotion rock through us. It's absolutely necessary. And then we also have to have a break from it. It's not good to stay there. So we call this the dual process model in grief theories. There are no stages of grief, which you probably know, but the dual process model says...
Could you repeat that? Because the amount of people I've had to say, you know, the stages of grief is not a thing.
Yeah, not a thing. You know, if we talk about stages of grief, we're saying there's a beginning, a middle and an end. And grief isn't like that. We don't do grief and then move on and get over it. We adjust to it and adapt to it. And how we do this is by confronting our grief and then taking a break from it and restoring ourselves. So into the grief, restoring. And this sort of oscillation back and forth is what we would consider a healthy, you know, good grieving process. But the keeping busy thing is important too, because grief is essentially like a profound stress response on the body, especially if it's unexpected. And we can have this cocktail of hormones going through our system and they need to go somewhere. Like, you channeled yours into a show, you expressed it creatively. Some of us need to run a marathon or climb a hill or build a shed. You know, so if that's how we deal with that stress response in our system, follow what your intuition is telling you.
Now, when you end up having to look after like your parent before they die, is that the beginning of the grieving process? Does that help? Is it easier when somebody's older? You know, do all these things affect the way that grief hits you?
Yes. And again, it's so individual. Like, you can't say if it's sudden and unexpected, we're going to grieve this way. If we've been preparing for it, we're going to grieve that way. You know, for people who are anticipating the death of a loved one, it's a really profoundly exhausting process.
I was actually the most tired I've been in my life. My mother, particularly, her journey to the end, exhausting.
We call it anticipatory grief, and we can start to feel sorrow and then feel guilty because we're already imagining their death and they're still here. So it's an absolutely exhausting process for many, many people. But when does the grieving start? I would say it starts for many the minute a diagnosis is given, or the minute we realize maybe the future's not guaranteed, or that baby's not going to be born, or they're not going to pull through this round of chemo. You know, the grieving starts the minute something changes, because our future stability is lost.
Do you think it's important to remind people that you don't have to feel guilty, where sometimes there's a small element of relief when that stressful period ends, that death in itself brings kind of a, like, life gets a little easier?
I think no matter how much we tell someone to not feel guilty, they're going to feel what they're going to feel. And it's, you know, this is why it's a process. We can know with our head, oh, I shouldn't feel guilty, but yet I feel it. And I have to work through that process and work through that guilt until I come to some sort of resolution or meaning with that myself.
One final thing, you're talking about couples break up because they deal with grief in a different way. I also found that during the looking after my mother process, particularly, you have a lot of conflict because I accepted that my mother was going to die. Other people didn't. And that can create a lot of conflict. Do you find that's quite difficult for a lot of families?
I think more than we realize, a lot of people are in denial. Both the person who's dying and the people who are supporting them. I hear all the time, I thought we had more time. And for some people, goodness and quality is just about time. And, you know, I know certainly when my dad was dying, it wasn't about let's buy him another week. It was how do we give him a really, really good death for me? But for other family members, it was getting more time.
Yes, yes. Well, Liz, thank you so much for chatting to me about grief. Liz Gleason, director of Shapes of Grief. Thank you.
My pleasure, Des. Thank you.
So we had a winner on the cash machine, Chris Lowe. Chris Lowe. Chris Lowe was at work when he called. He's now eyeing up a brand new camper van with his winnings. Chris is the 38th winner in 2023 so far. Those 38 people have won almost $1.5 million between them this year. We're guaranteeing that someone will win tomorrow. So let's reload the cash machine. The amount you need to know is €52,253.44. That's €52,253.44. To enter, text PLAY to 57557. That's 57557. If it's you, we'll call back after 3 p.m. tomorrow. Remember, you have to answer your phone within five rings, tell us the prize amount, and you win the money. Over 18s only, text costs $2.50 plus your standard message rate to play. You are playing across the Go Loud network of stations, and terms and conditions are on newstalk.com.